The reading from Luke 19, beginning at verse 28, the triumphal entry. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Lord, take my words, take our thoughts. Be with us now, be with us in the week ahead, for Jesus' sake. Amen. If you were here on Palm Sunday 2 years ago, you've heard my Palm Sunday sermon, so probably no point in repeating it, but there may have been some people who weren't here 2 years ago, or would you believe it, may have forgotten. But one way or another, Palm Sunday, here we are again. You may have seen that picture 2 years ago. Yes, I did put it up then. I thought I could use it again. But looking through my notes, I see that some things haven't changed. I managed to get a bit about Brexit in 2 years ago, so clearly politics hasn't changed in the last 2 years. But you know, this Palm Sunday story is one of the few things that you can find in all four of the Gospels. All four Gospel writers thought this was something we really need to put down and people need to know about it. For each of them, the details that they record and the emphasis that they give is slightly different, perhaps as we would expect, because we all perhaps take part in an event and then we go out and we've all remembered something slightly different. At Life Group this week, I asked the people in our Life Group what they had taken out of last Sunday's services that had really stuck with them for the week. Some of them had taken a particular verse from the Bible reading. Some of them had taken something that Dave had said either at the APCM at St. Andrews or at Deeper here last Sunday evening. So clearly what you said, Dave, was helpful. Some of them had remembered it. And so it was that they took different things. Matthew, Mark and Luke all thought that it was important to say that Jesus sent a couple of people to go and get this donkey that he intended to ride into Jerusalem. John doesn't think that was worth mentioning at all. He just simply says, there was a donkey and Jesus got on it and here we go. They had different emphases. Matthew and John both pick up a quote from Zechariah in the Old Testament. "Behold, your king is coming to you riding on a donkey." Luke doesn't think it's worth mentioning that bit at all. But what Luke does mention comes from Psalm 118. Yes, you remember Psalm 118 is that psalm which is the jam in the sandwich between Psalm 117, which is the shortest chapter in the Bible, and Psalm 119, which is the longest chapter in the Bible. You didn't know that, but now just think, quiz question, you're there, aren't you? Home and dry. So, what did Luke mention? He says, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." That's from Psalm 118. I suppose 2 years ago, I did point out that this wasn't the only entry into Jerusalem that Passover time. The Romans were very good at allowing local customs to continue, provided that the local customs did not interfere with their overall reach and their overall rule. And they knew that this particular Passover custom of the Jews was celebrating a time when the Jews had actually got out of the authority of a foreign power. Bit like Brexit, really, I suppose. But they had got out of Egypt. And the Romans did not want the Jews to think that they could try it on again. And so, at the time of Passover, Pontius Pilate, the emperor's representative, would also be in Jerusalem. And his entry into Jerusalem was about as different from Jesus' entry as east is from west. We might say that both literally and metaphorically, because he would be coming from Caesarea. He was coming in to the east gate of Jerusalem. Jesus was coming from the west. He was coming up from Bethany and came in through the west gate to Jerusalem. Pontius Pilate arrived in all the splendor and state that you would expect of the local Roman governor, the representative of Rome's power. He arrived with all the soldiers in their best kit, all dressed up. He's sitting on a nice large war horse. The soldiers had all their spears and everything else shining bright, and it was a real show of power. Jesus, on the other hand, turns up on a donkey, surrounded by a few locals, and couldn't really be much more different, could it? It's a contrast between, if you like, the political power and the peaceful authority. And it's worth mentioning that donkey. The story is told of a West Country farmer, and his neighbouring farmer had been trying to persuade him to come to church, probably for years, and he'd never come. And then one Sunday he thought, well, perhaps I will just go and see what this church thing is all about. And he turned up at church on Palm Sunday. And it was one of those services. The music was appalling. The organ was out of tune. The preacher was boring. Even more boring than me, can you believe it? It was a total disaster of a service. And the friend who'd been encouraging the farmer to come to church is sitting at the back thinking, oh no, why now? God, why have you let him come to this service of all services? What a disaster. And at the end of the service, he's going up to his friend and he's all ready to apologize and say, actually, it's not always like this. And his friend says, that was interesting. Really? Was it something the preacher said? No, I didn't hear a word of what he said. I was thinking. It was that story about Jesus getting on the donkey. We had one of those Arabian colts, you know. They are terrible. It's almost impossible to break them in. They fight like tigers. It takes forever. And some of them you just have to give up on altogether. And Jesus just got on one of these things and rode it. If Jesus can do that, he's got to be something really special. I'm going to follow Jesus. Oh yes, there's Luke saying the people were there praising Jesus. Why? Because of the miracles they'd seen. And in our minds, we think miracles. Yeah, he healed people. Yes, some of them may have been there when he fed the 5,000 with just a few loaves and fishes. But the people who were there at the time would probably know about these donkeys and how difficult they were to break in. And Jesus just sat on it, and it was peaceful. That was a miracle too. And we don't even see it because we don't recognize it. And God brought that farmer into church just on that Sunday, and he recognized the miracle. Amazing. God's timing is perfect. And God sometimes works miracles just in the ordinary everyday occurrences, and we don't even see it because it's not the way we are. So, there we are. Pilate came with all his majesty and his power, and Jesus, on the other hand, just came peacefully on a donkey. Pilate came with all the might of the Roman army behind him. Jesus just came with a casual miracle in the ordinary. The difference was that that donkey was walking with Jesus. And Jesus wants us to walk with him through our lives too. But then you see, I did say there was that quote that we heard read from Psalm 118. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now those are the words exactly as translated, which you can read in Psalm 118, in Matthew, in Mark's Gospel, and in John's Gospel. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But in Luke's Gospel, as we read it this morning, the words are, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Oh yes, does it make a difference? What difference does that make? It made a lot of difference. And the Pharisees who were around the edge of the crowd, they knew it made a difference. We have only one king, and that's Caesar. So no wonder the Pharisees, who had reached an accord with the occupying Romans, they didn't want anyone rocking the boat. They didn't want anyone upsetting the status quo. They wanted their comfortable lives to continue. And having a wandering preacher in, and the crowd saying, this is the king, that was going to bring trouble. So they said, hey, you can't accept that title of being called the king. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Rebuke these crowds. Tell them they can't say that. And Jesus, far from rebuking the crowds, says, I'll accept that title. If they didn't cry out, even the stones would cry out. He accepted the title good and proper. Well, you see, Pilate was only a temporary governor of the land, but Jesus is the ultimate king. Perhaps that's why Luke alone tells us about this particular bit of the story. It's the thing that he wanted to stress, that although Pilate was the governor, Jesus is the king. The Pharisees didn't want the boat rocking. They didn't want to upset the status quo. They had an accord with the powers that be. Jesus said, actually, you want to take note of the powers that have been and are and always will be. So we have a choice to make. And sometimes I think we come to an accord with the society that we live in and we say, well, no, Jesus wouldn't quite have done it that way, but let's just not rock the boat. We'll just follow the trend. And I think we have to ask ourselves, are we tempted to follow the trend or do we follow the Master? And if we choose to follow the Master, then we shall certainly find that we are perhaps rocking the boat. We are going to find ourselves in a revolutionary situation just as Jesus did. Is our faith risky and revolutionary? Do we follow the Master? Look how quickly Jesus' popularity turned to persecution. As we go through this week, from a triumphal entry through to Good Friday and a death, and on to Sunday and a resurrection and new life. Last week at Deeper, Dave was encouraging us to walk with God. As we approach the cross on Friday and new life on Sunday, perhaps it's time for some of us to recommit ourselves to that walk with God, even if it does seem to take us along a tough road. Lord, as we enter this Holy Week, we ask that we may walk with you, that we may see the things as you see them, that we may do the things that you call us to do and say the words that you would have us say. May we walk with you through this Easter season and Holy Week for Jesus' sake. Amen.